This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Ben Schwartz. Ben's coming to us from the Boston area. We're going to talk to Ben about his thoughts, what he's seeing with COVID-19, his sense of any sense of what a new normal looks like, advice for business owners, and more. He'll talk a little bit about what they're doing as well. Ben, can you take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure, will do. Yeah, so I'm an orthopedic surgeon practicing just outside of Boston on what's called the North Shore of Massachusetts. I specialize in hip and knee replacements. I did a fellowship in adult reconstruction back in 2007, 2008. I also do a little bit with digital healthcare. I'm a chief innovation officer for a healthcare technology startup company called Healant Health.
Fascinating. And so Dr. Schwartz, what are you seeing with COVID-19? What is sort of like, what does practice look like today? What do other things look like today?
Yeah, so the governor of Massachusetts extended our stay-at-home order yesterday from May 8th to May 18th. So we're in our plateau, at least we feel like we're in our plateau, but our plateau has kind of plateaued. So, you know, we're not seeing a big uptick in cases, but we haven't really hit the downside yet either. So our hospitals have pushed back the start of elective surgeries, or at least a decision on that, till May 18th as well. I am part of an independent surgery center, which is up in New Hampshire, and we restarted elective surgeries as of this week. So we're slowly starting to do some hip and knee replacements. But I think there's still a lot up in the air. I think we're now just starting to have some conversations in the hospitals about how that's going to look when it gets started again. I think this is obviously new territory for everybody. And so we're trying to figure it out a little bit as we go. The American College of Surgeons has done a nice job putting out some guidelines in terms of restarting, but I think it's going to be kind of a learn as you go process at this point for a lot of people.
Sure. And what about sort of, what does ramp up look like in terms of protective steps and so forth? Any sense of that, you know, and what this ramp up looks like to get to sort of a new normal? And what does that new normal feel like? Any sense so far?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of debate going on around testing patients, testing doctors. Do you test everybody? Do you test people that are symptomatic before elective surgery? What's your screening process like? Do you change who you're going to operate on? Do you become more restrictive just to try to concentrate on younger and healthier people that may be less risky? I think each locality is going to have to figure out for itself what their resources are, you know, what their bed situation is, what their equipment situation is. I think, you know, when all this started, we figured once things start up again, it's going to be a quick ramp up and we're going to, you know, work even a little bit harder to get caught up. But I think people realize now that's not going to be the case. It's going to have to be a more measured restart. You're not going to do as many cases as you used to do. There may be more turnover time involved. There may be more precautions in place in terms of limiting people's exposure. So I think this is going to be a gradual return and not really a quick ramp up like we all hoped it would be.
Certainly. And talk to us a little bit about your chief innovation officer for another company, a different venture. How did you get involved in that? What does that do? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I've always had an interest in technology and healthcare technology, which has become, actually before all this started, there was a lot of interest in that, billions of dollars in investment. I think healthcare technology was on its way even before the pandemic, and I think it's certainly seen an increase in interest during the pandemic. So I've done some advising work, some mentorship work with some healthcare incubators. In fact, Matter Health in Chicago, I've done some work with. And through LinkedIn, I've had some people reach out to me just kind of as an interest of mine, as a hobby. And this company, Healant, reached out to me for an advisory role. And when things got suspended in terms of surgeries, I found myself with a lot of extra time on my hands. And so my role with the company kind of grew, you know, over the past 6 weeks or so, and kind of shaping the platform and figuring out, you know, where we wanted to go and what we could offer. And as a part of that, we're trying to offer basically virtual pre-op optimization and virtual pre-admission process for patients. As we ramp up elective surgeries and we try to keep people away from the hospital, we try to get the education material to the patient without them having to, say, sit in a joint class at the hospital to minimize people's exposure. You know, we have to think about post-op, how are patients going to get physical therapy? How are they going to be able to keep in contact with their healthcare providers? And that's really been our focus, to try to move that process, out of the hospital as much as possible, but provide the educational content, maybe some virtual physical therapy ability for the patients.
And so fantastic, because so much of that stuff, at least until we really have a much better sense of COVID-19, going to try and minimize as much direct personal contact as possible. And so as many things can be done virtually, the better. That seems to be the core concept.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people are looking in that direction. And I think some of this is going to persist afterwards. I think we're learning that we can leverage the technology and shift some of the stuff into the home, and it's convenient for patients. It does a better job in some cases of engaging patients. So I think there'll be a little bit of a telehealth bubble once things get started again. But I think a lot of the stuff is going to stick now that we realize that it works, and doctors are more comfortable with it, and patients are more comfortable with it, that we will see increased or persistent interest in telehealth even after things start to return to some normal.
And another question. So you have you're a top-level orthopedic hip and joint surgeon. Is it dangerous, or is it okay for hip and knee surgeon or hip and joint surgeon to have some extra time in his hands? Is that is that healthier?
You might want to ask my wife that question. I think that you try to put your time to good use. Obviously, it's you're not used to that. Right? You're not used to being on the sidelines. You used to being go, and you're busy, and you're in clinic, you're in the OR. So it's a little bit unusual to be on the sidelines. Orthopedic surgeons do not traditionally work from home. That's not really something we do on a regular basis. So that's been a little bit of an adjustment. But I'm doing some telehealth office visits, and there's something to be said for working from home. It's good for the patient too, and I think I'll continue to do that once it's all said and done. So I've just been trying to fill my time with some of these side projects and staying engaged, and doing some homeschooling for the kids and that kind of thing.
That's fantastic. Probably the toughest professor they've ever had. Another question for you. Are you talking to a lot of your orthopedic surgeons throughout the country? Is everybody sort of in the same boat, or is there any place that's more sort of on lockdown versus less? Or are you getting the same sentiment from most people, regardless of state?
Yeah, I think, just like everything else, places like New York City, I think New Orleans, some of these places that were hit really hard, I never got called in on the front lines, or at least I haven't yet, because our hospitals were not overwhelmed to the point that they had to, call us as orthopedic surgeons in to manage some of these patients. But I know a lot of orthopedic surgeons in New York City did get called in for the manpower to be able to help out and do what they could within the hospitals. So I think it depends on locality. And then you have some places maybe, more in the Midwest that weren't hit as hard, where maybe they didn't see quite the surge at this point. So I think it depends on the locality.
And any sort of long-term prognosis of what this looks like, any sense of 6 months from now, a year from now, any sense of kids back at school, or what do you think will be the new normal? Back to a normal life with more protective steps, or what is your sense of it?
Yeah, I think that's the big question we're just trying to figure out now. In Massachusetts, they basically said that there's not going to be a return to school this school year, and whether or not that affects when they go back in August, September remains to be seen. I think people will take the precautions. I think masks in public is going to probably persist in a lot of places for a while. I think distancing is going to persist for a while, whether it's 6 feet or what have you. So I think we'll be dealing with that until we're pretty confident that either there's a vaccine available or we're not going to see a second surge. So but I think the one thing about this has been that there's a lot of unknowns, and we're figuring it out as we go along. And so it's a very fluid situation as data comes out, and we probably won't know the full extent of it until after the facts, a year or so down the road.
A wider question than a question about COVID-19. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, an amazing run, an amazing career. Any thoughts on Tom Brady and the Patriots splitting up? Any thoughts around those lines?
Yeah, so I have to admit, maybe I don't want to say this too loud, that I am not a Patriots fan. I did not grow up in New England, although we've been here. I did my training here in Boston, and then we've lived here on the North Shore for 5.5, almost 6 years now. But I am not personally a Patriots fan. My wife is a Giants fan. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. It's a long explanation. So I think this is the age-old debate, how much of their run was Tom Brady and how much was Bill Belichick, and maybe we'll figure out some of that. I think the fans are taking it pretty well. I think they kind of are heartbroken, but they realize that this day was coming, and I think they still – you know, they'll be Tom Brady fans when they're not playing the Patriots. I think they still believe very highly in Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and what they've been able to build.
Well, no, an amazing franchise, and you've built an amazing franchise in orthopedic surgery, sort of the North Shore's Tom Brady. So even if you're not a Tom Brady fan or a Patriots fan, Dr. Schwartz, just a great pleasure getting a chance to visit with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoy the Becker's Healthcare Daily Digest. It's a great source of education and inspiration for me.
Thank you very much.